today is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter, where we have the history of a certain woman that came in to the house where Christ was. And there we find that she received one of the greatest blessings that any person could receive in this life. We find that Christ, he had been reproached by the Pharisees because he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And after this, we find this evangelist giving us an account of a Pharisee inviting Christ into his house to eat with him. This Pharisee, he must have been one that had been listening to Christ and had seen some of the wonders and miracles that he had performed. And he was very much impressed, and he desired that he would come in and eat with him. And he was not one then that was so prejudiced and so filled with enmity against Christ. He had in his mind that he probably was a prophet. He wasn't sure that Christ was a prophet, but for this reason, he thought he would invite him to his house, and he invited others that were Pharisees with him so that they could examine his words and see whether he was a prophet or not. They weren't certain of it. For this reason, probably, he invited Christ to come in and dine with him. And Christ was always willing to go in to do good to people, and here he accepted the invitation. He went in and he sat down to meet in this Pharisee's house. And we find that there came a woman. There was a woman of the city who was a sinner. And when she knew that Christ was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she came into his house and she brought in with her an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood behind him weeping, and she washed his feet with her tears, and she bent down and dried them off with her hair, and she likewise kissed his feet and anointed his feet with ointment. We have here a woman who is called a sinner. Are you a sinner? Probably there isn't one in my audience that would say he's not. Who could put their hand in their bosom and say, I'm not a sinner? Every one of us must say we are sinners. We were born in sin, conceived in sin, and lived in sin even to this present moment. We can do nothing else but sin. I wish that God would convince every one of my hearers of their sinnership. It's simple enough to say with our mouth that we are sinners. Everybody will say that. But to be convinced by the Spirit of God and to know ourselves as sinners is so necessary. Shall we ever need a Savior to save us? This woman was a sinner. What sort of a sinner was she? She was a scandalous sinner. She was a harlot. She had, by her open sins, brought a blot upon her name and upon her character. The Bible says she was a sinner of the city. Everybody in the city knew her to be so. She was given over to her sins, left loose. She lived in sin. She wallowed in sin. And everybody knew her to be this. Oh, my hearers, it's an awful thing when God leaves us go, when our conscience don't speak anymore, when we can go on in sin irrespective of what people say about us and what a name they give us. So it was with this woman. But she had been under the ministry of Christ, we may believe. And under this ministry, she had been convicted of sin. She had become a sinner by the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's entirely different, my hearers, than being a sinner just with your mouth and with your mind. Oh, to become a sinner in the sight of God. No one can be this except God make you so. He made this woman a sinner. And she felt herself to be a sinner. How did she feel herself? Oh, there wasn't anyone that was a worse creature than she was. She was such a bad woman. She had lived so in sin. Oh, she had sinned against God. That good, that kind, that gracious, that merciful God. She had went many times and secret on her knees and wept before him because of her sins. Have I any listening to me to do that? Have you a place in your home, a place where you go to, where you want to be separated from everybody else? You're such a creature, you don't dare say anything to your husband, to your wife, to your children, but you are such a sinner. Oh, if I could listen by the door sometimes to some of you that know this, oh, what exclamations would come forth from your lips. But this is what came forth from this woman. Oh, she says, I'm undone, I'm lost, I'm ruined. All while in this state and condition, I may believe the Spirit of God instructed her in the way of salvation. The Spirit of God opened up unto her that there was a way of escape, a way whereby she could be saved, and that was in this person, Jesus Christ. All this Jesus that she had been listening to, he was pointed out as the Savior, as the Messiah, as the Redeemer unto her faith. She was given then to know inwardly that he was able to save her, that he was willing to save her, and that he would save her. Her faith extended to that, that she believed this. Oh, this woman, she was given then to know that Jesus was in this house. He was in the house of a Pharisee. She had not been invited to this house. He never would have invited her there. But regardless of what house she would have been in, she needed Jesus. This was what she came for. And she came into this house because he was in this house. And he was sitting in a reclining position. This is what the commentary says, that the Jews, when they sat down to eat, they sat on couches, and they seemed to recline, and they had their feet behind them. To me, I can't figure out how that I could get my feet behind me, sitting down and have somebody standing behind me. But this is the explanation that they give us of how that the Jews used to sit down at meat. And so Christ must have been sitting in a reclining position with his feet behind him. And this woman, she came into this house and she stood behind him. She came in with an alabaster box of ointment. This ointment probably she had used for altogether different purposes before, but she had something in her heart and in her mind that she was going to use this for. And we find that she stood behind him weeping. Her face was just covered with tears, and they dropped down right on his feet. What made her weep? Have you ever wept, my hearers, because of your sins, because of your iniquities? Oh, what a mercy, what a blessing in this life to have a godly sorrow because of our sins. The Lord says that he will lead his people with weeping and with supplications, and he leads every one of his dear children in this way. Oh, it isn't the tears, my hearers, that saves us. But if you have no tears, it's a sad sign. Because if you are a broken-hearted sinner needing Jesus, I am sure it's pretty difficult to conceal this, especially under the word, under the ministry thereof. I am sure your heart will be broken at times. And you will be weeping. You will try to conceal it. You will try to hide it, as many of us do, from those that are sitting around us. But all, we have tears inside here, too, to save time. You have such tears at times? I wish everybody did have. This woman, she came with her tears, standing behind Jesus. They just fell right down on his feet. And as they fell down on his feet, she knelt down. And she took the hairs of her head. She didn't care how her hair was. She took her hair and she began to dry the feet of Jesus. I am sure some women that spend so much time and so much money on their hair would have never done something like this woman did. In all probabilities, her hair was all disheveled. She didn't care. She had been a harlot and she had a bad reputation and she had no consideration about how she looked. even at the present moment. She needed Christ more than anything. And she bent down with her hair and she wiped them tears and washed his feet off. In this she reveals how humble she was. And she reveals that she was willing to do anything as a maidservant, ready to wash his feet. And as she has been washing his feet and drying them, she began to kiss his feet. Oh, true, when people came to a house like this Pharisee had invited people, they usually were kissed by the one that had invited them. But they were kissed on the forehead or on the cheek. But this woman, she was at his feet, kissing his feet. In various countries, they have different customs, especially if one that is wealthy and has done some good deed to someone that has been poor, well then usually that wealthy person, for what he has done to this poor one, will put out his foot, and that person will kiss his foot in love and affection and in adoration for what has been done to him or her. And this likewise was taking place here of this woman, as she was so filled with love and affection for Christ, and she needed him so that she began to kiss his feet. The original word says she kept kissing, not just once, but she kept kissing his feet. And Christ says that too unto Simon later on in the chapter, that he had not given him a kiss, but since he had come in, this woman had not stopped kissing his feet. Such love and affection she showed for Jesus, and she kept kissing his feet. And after she had kissed his feet, she likewise anointed them with this ointment that she had brought with her. This signified that she anointed him as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the Redeemer. She had him as such in her very soul, in her desires, and she longed to have him revealed to her as this. This woman then signified with this that he was the Savior of sinners, and she anointed him with this ointment. This woman then is a wonderful emblem, my hearers, of the way that God brings sinners to Christ. Jesus has said, "No man, no woman can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." We see then in this woman the sovereignty of the grace of God. There was probably more worse women in the city than she. There wasn't just one bad woman in this city. There probably were many of them. What city it was, where it was, when it took place, who the woman was, nobody knows. All guesswork. Some say she was Mary Magdalene, but that's not true. Can't find any ground for it in Scripture. No one knows what the name of this woman was and who she was and where she came from. They don't even know what city it was taking place in. Still, it comes into this chapter at this present time. And here, this wonderful grace of God came upon such a character, one of the worst sinners in the city. I love this, my hearers. Oh, I love the grace of God when it shines out in a person like that. It goes to show you that irrespective of how great of a sinner you may be and what you have done in this life, if the time is there, God the Father will surely bring you to Christ. He'll bring you to his feet. If you are one of those, as this woman was, she was one that was chosen by God from all eternity. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. She was loved by God with an everlasting love. And now the time came for her to be born again, to receive a new heart, a new life. And she was brought by the inspiration of the Spirit to confess her sins. She knew herself to be a chiefest of sinners, and she needed Jesus. The Spirit worked this in her, and all she came to his feet. Have I any such amongst my hearers? Or have I some that have been born again? all who have been likewise convicted of sin. All my hearers, when God convicts a man or a woman of sin, it's a conviction that continues on throughout your whole life. God, he brings a person down to nothing. Oh, many times, if you have a wife or you have a husband, and they lead in prayer, they make such short utterances sometimes. Oh, I'm undone. Oh, I'm lost. Oh, I gotta condemn myself. Oh, there ain't any good to be found in me. How many have I amongst my hearers that say this inwardly? Say it so many times to God in secret. Oh, they are so convicted that there can't come any good out of them, that they're all sin, that it's an undone matter with them, that it's a lost matter with them, and that they need a Savior, a mighty Savior. And they have been likewise given by the Spirit of God to hear the voice of this Savior. Have you ever heard it? Has he ever spoken to you? Has he ever given you any intimation for your own heart and soul that he's willing to save you? Has he ever spoken to you, come unto me? Oh, what a mercy to come unto him. Has he ever said, come, let us reason together. Although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. And although they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, what a blessed word for a sinner, a great sinner, a lost sinner to hear, that God is willing, regardless of your sins, that he's willing to pardon, willing to forgive. Oh, this woman, she was such a sinner. How I wish that everyone amongst my hearers were such sinners, that there was such a feeling and such a need for Jesus Christ in your very soul. This woman then, in doing these things, she revealed her affection, her love to Christ. Oh, she washed his feet. She kissed his feet. She anointed his feet. She was at his feet. Have you ever been at his feet? Oh, a blessed place, my hearers. We read of Mary. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a place to be. And now, this Pharisee, who had invited Christ for meat into his house, when he seen this woman come in, you can imagine what was going on in his mind. Oh, he looked with abhorrence at this woman. He knew this woman. He knew what a sinner she was. And now when she came in and she began to do this to Christ, he couldn't understand this. He was wondering in his mind whether Christ was a prophet or not. And now when this woman began to show such affection to Jesus and do these things to him, then he began to think in his mind, if this man was a prophet, he would have known what sort of woman this was, and he would have never let her do the things that she did. Or he would have abhorred it. He would have spoken to her and told her to leave off. I'm sure Simon thought in his mind, if she came to do that to me, I would have said, keep away from me, I'm holier than you are. This is what the Pharisees were. They were holier in their own estimation than anybody else because they lived such a life of holiness that they kept the law and they lived so strict and so exact, and they thought by these things they were going to merit heaven by it. And therefore, when Christ revealed himself in this world and dealt with sinners, with publicans, this they couldn't understand. They wouldn't have anything to do with such. And I'm sure Simon didn't want to have anything to do with this woman. But when he seen Christ accepting these tokens of affection and of love, this he could not stand. He didn't say out loud, but in his mind he had such thoughts. Surely, if this man was a prophet, he would know what sort of manner of woman this was that was doing this to him. And now he didn't know that Jesus was a prophet, more than a prophet, that he was God, that he knew what he was thinking about. Or he never realized this, that Jesus was God and man in one person. And now Jesus, he began to speak to Simon. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. If you have something against Christ, and you've got something in your mind against him, he's got something to say to you too. He had something to say to Simon. And Simon said, Master, say on. What a hypocritical way to address Christ, Master, say on. When in his mind, he was already prejudiced against Christ because he had let this woman do these things to him. And now Christ, he began to speak and said unto him, there was a certain creditor that had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other owed him 50 pence. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now, which one of these do you think, Simon, loved him the most? I suppose, he says, the one that he forgave most. You have judged rightly, Christ said. A wonderful saying, my hearers. This was a parable. Christ came with a creditor and two debtors. They both owed the creditor. The one owed 500, the other one owed 50. But the commentary says that by this creditor, we are to understand God. And by these two, we are to understand the woman. She was a 500 pence debtor. And this man, Simon, he was a 50 pence debtor. I don't go along with this interpretation. I think that it's right that God is the creditor. And I think by these two, every one of us are included. We all have, in and through the fall of Adam, sinned against God. And we have sinned against his holy law. And in and through sinning against his law, we are in debt to God because we do not keep his law. We are transgressors of his law. We are duty bound to keep it. So here we are in debt unto God, and he is the creditor. He demands that we should keep this law. Have you ever had this brought home to you? Have you ever tried to keep the law? Have you ever set to work to try to keep the commandments? And I'm sure if you have, but then you have found it an impossibility to keep them. For if we falter only in one, we are a transgressor of them all, the apostle says, and that's true. And suppose now that you did, from the time that you were convicted and the law came home to you, and you began to live according to this law, what happens with what you did before? Are you not a debtor to God because you've sinned against him in Adam, and in all the ways that you lived before? We cannot, my hearers, keep this law. It's an impossibility. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. And when God comes with his holy law and brings it home to us, then we attempt to do what is good and right and holy in his sight. We attempt by meriting good works to get to heaven. And this is an impossibility. The law is a sentence of condemnation, and it condemns us. So then, every one of us are debtors to God. We stand in debt to him, one more than another, just as this parable relates. One had 500, the other one had 50. Some live according to the lust and the passions and the corruptions of their wicked nature. Oh, we see so many today, they don't care about God, they don't care about his word, about his day. Oh, it's a sad thing, it hurts us to see people go on in this way. I don't know if it hurts you, but it does me many times. And oh, my hearers, we who keep God's word somewhat, try to obey God, doing what is right and what is good in his sight, we likewise are still on the same level with those poor creatures. We are in debt, but the one is more in debt than we are. But this doesn't mean anything in sight of God. For these two debtors, then, are you and I. And we owe God a righteousness without any sins, without any flaws in it, and we have it not. And now when they had nothing to pay, this is what I like about it. Has God ever brought you there? Has he ever stripped you of everything that you have, your religion, your prayers, and everything that you experience? Has he ever brought you away from it? Has he ever given you the feeling you don't have nothing, not a thing, that God could throw you in hell just like you are because you deserve it? Oh, you have nothing. You have to be saved by what? By grace, by free grace. Or otherwise, you'll never be saved. Have you said that already to God in secret? Lord, if you don't save me, it's a lost matter forever with me. Have you felt that? Are you convinced of it? You have nothing to pay. Oh, this wonderful God in heaven above. The creditor, he frankly forgave them both when they had nothing to pay. It's a place to come, my hearers. It's a place where God brings all his people, that they may experience by grace ye are saved, and that not of works. We all want to have something to pay. We want to have some tears. We want to have some frames. We want to have some words. We don't have nothing anymore. Nothing. And then to be saved. This is the way God saves, my hearers. This is what he says in this parable, Jesus, when they had nothing to pay. He frankly forgave them both. And it is a sure thing, no matter how great of a sinner you may have been in your past life, if you may experience what this woman experienced, then you likewise will love him more. The more sinner that you have been, and the more that has been forgiven, the more that you will be a saint, that you will love Christ. This follows itself. This what the Christ spake unto Simon. And this is the answer that Simon gave. He had to admit that this is what would take place. And so Christ, he turns around from Simon to this woman. And he says to Simon, seest thou this woman? I came into your house, he says. You gave me no water to wash my feet. But she has done nothing else but wash my feet with her tears and dry them with the hairs of her head. You gave me likewise no kiss when I entered into your house. A common decency. This is what they did in those times. And he refused even to do this man, Simon. And Christ speaks to him and says, you gave me no kiss. But this woman, since I have entered into the house, has not ceased to kiss my feet. And my head with oil thou didst not anoint. But she has done what was necessary. She anointed my feet with the ointment. And now, because she loved much, her sins are forgiven unto her, he says to Simon. If that was as far as he had went, that poor woman wouldn't have got what she came there for. That's all right if everybody else says, John or you or Saul, your sins are forgiven you. That don't come home because it didn't come from Christ. He said this to Simon, because she loved much, her sins are forgiven her. Was it because of her love then her sins were forgiven? No, my hearers. It was because of God's love to her and of Christ's love to her. We love him because he first loved us. She never could have loved him. But because of the love of God and the love of Christ, therefore her sins were forgiven her. And now he turned and spake unto this woman and said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Four words, that's all. Four little words which mean so much. Oh, they mean everything. They mean hell and heaven, my hearers. If we don't have it, it means hell. Awful to say, but it's true. We need to have our sins forgiven in this life. How can we ever appear before God with our guilt, with our sins? They must be pardoned. They must be washed away in the blood of Christ. We must experience what this dear woman experienced, just in four words. And if you take notice, she never said a word. She never asked for anything. She stood behind him weeping. And I am sure that this woman was so led by the Spirit and had so much faith to believe that Christ would forgive her sins that it wasn't necessary for her to say anything. She just stood behind him weeping. She knew he knew she was there, and he knew what was going on in her heart, and he knew what she needed, and she believed that he would give her what she needed. And finally he turns to her and says unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Four little words. How many in my audience ever heard these words spoken unto them from Christ in their very hearts? Oh, my hearers, we live in a sad time, believe me. Oh, so few experience the forgiveness of their sins in the times in which we live. And this is a sad sign that the Spirit is so departed from us. Oh, what a mercy it would be if every Sunday one person in our audience was given to hear the voice of Christ speaking in their hearts, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Oh, what a different congregation we would be. Oh, how Christ would be magnified and glorified by his grace, by his love, by his pity, by his compassion to such creatures that have experienced it. Oh, this woman, she was given then this full and free remission of all her sins. And oh, she was a great sinner. A great sinner, but she needed a great Savior, and she got one. He was the Savior for her soul. And now these Pharisees that were gathered together in this place, they began to speak with each other and say, "Who is this that has that authority to forgive sins?" They couldn't see in Christ that he was God, that he was a Savior, that he had this authority to forgive sins. But irrespective of what they thought and what they said, Christ went ahead. This is also something, my hearers, irrespective of what others say and what they think and what they speak against such creatures, if it's his prerogative and it's his purpose to save, he most certainly will save. And he turned to the woman again, and he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Oh, she was then given a double assurance that she was a child of God, that she was loved by God, that her sins were forgiven, and that in and through this faith that had been wrought in her heart by the Spirit of God, she now received this token of Christ, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Faith, my hearers, is a wonderful grace. Oh, so many people think they have faith. So many people speak about faith. It's just as if they have it in their pocket and they have it in their head and they can bring it out whenever they want to. But such faith, my hearers, is nothing to be jealous of. But if God gives us a mustard seed, a mustard grain of faith, true faith, it's something that others will be jealous of, that others will marvel at. All this faith is a gift of God, and it is by faith that we receive what Christ speaks. This she received when he spake to her, as she believed it, and all she was given inwardly to rejoice and to sing with her whole heart to his praise and to his honor, that he had been her Savior, her Redeemer, and that he had granted her this blessing even in this house of the Pharisee. Oh, may God grant every one of us this special blessing in this life, and all shall be well for time and eternity. That's all for today.